The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes when the Lord gives us a parable, it is obscure or even confusing and needs to be explained. But sometimes they're as clear as day, because they're eminently relatable. I think today's parable fits that latter category. No matter your age, your background, your spiritual background or preferences, everyone has felt something of what the laborers experience today. It's the parable of the landowner and his calling laborers into the vineyard. He's calling them at dawn, at 9 a.m., at 3 p.m., at 5 p.m., and they all receive the same reward for their work. It's those guys who were called in at dawn who are grumbling against the landowner. They're sad, they're discouraged, they're even angry. And to give a name to that experience, and I would say a flaw of their heart, it's envy. Their experience is envy. And I'd like to define that briefly and distinguish it from jealousy, which both are serious, envy being a capital sin or a deadly sin. Jealousy is merely coveting or wanting what other people have for oneself. But envy is a sorrow or a sadness or even anger at the goodness or excellence of another, even to the point of wishing to destroy their goodness or excellence. No matter your age, we've experienced it. So, say in elementary school, you're all at your desk and little Johnny keeps getting A pluses on all of his work and his teacher lauds him. Instead of being thrilled for little Johnny, as a classmate, you're tempted to pester him or give him a hard time to lower him down a notch instead of being happy for him. Or if you're in the workplace and there's a coworker who receives a promotion and even on the same day bought a house for a deal, instead of being happy for them, you are angry or resentful that he was so successful in one day. Or if you are a woman who have a female friend who is beautiful, gets engaged, gets a promotion and loses 10 pounds, you're thinking, "I'd wish she'd gain 20. That's envy. That's sadness at the goodness or excellence of another. This can creep even in the spiritual realm as well. So, it could be the case where you know someone who's spent their entire life in the party scene, living it up, having a great time, a crazy life, and then last year they decided to enter the church, they go to confession, and now they're treated just the same as you. Or someone here at church, you notice week in and week out, or they're such a good person. They're always happy. They're always holy. They're so prayerful. Makes you sick. That's also a form of spiritual envy, of being sad at the excellence or goodness of another. And I bring that up also today, not just because it's found in the parable, but I think we live in an age of a great temptation towards envy, thanks largely to social media. I would consider both Facebook and Instagram to be envy generators. When we sit there and scroll through our feed and we see the beauty of our friends and their families and what they're up to, their vacations, their houses, their activities, we're constantly tempted to be sad because our life doesn't seem to be as great as theirs. If that is your case, if it causes spiritual sadness, envy, or jealousy in you, get rid of it. There's a reason why envy is a spiritual sin. Of course, in the gospel today, our Lord is primarily talking about salvation. The parable is speaking to the Jewish people. They had been the chosen people, the first ones into the vineyard of the Lord. And he was kind of preparing them that he would also call the Gentiles into the church. But he's giving us that warning to each of us. We all have that temptation towards envy, that defect of our heart. So what's the remedy? I look to actually the opening collect referenced the summation of all the law of loving God and loving neighbor. I'll begin with that. Let's first of all double down on our love for God and looking to Him rather than looking over our shoulder. Looking over our shoulder will only bring sadness, competition, and in the end, spiritual death. What we realize is whether you're talking about jealousy or envy, it flows from a deep insecurity about how loved we are by God and how He loves us. If we can further root ourselves in how He does deeply affirm us as His beloved children, we'll not be so uneasy to compare and contrast. Also, we need to refine our love for our neighbor. And let's get to the basics. St. Thomas Aquinas defines love as willing the good of the other for their own sake. If I truly love my neighbor, I want them to thrive. When we root ourselves in a more perfect love for God and love for neighbor, we'll realize we will grow in humility, seeing that let the Lord give me what He will. I will not demand any reward from my God other than what He's promised. And in the end, what has He promised us? If we stay faithful to Him, especially working in our vocation in the vineyard, He's assured us of eternal salvation. That's the reward. We can't be upset at earthly possessions or worldly successes of other people when that's not what we were promised anyway. We'll also find us growing in gratitude because ultimately many of us, we're not the laborers who started at dawn. A lot of us, we're the laborers who started later. And all of it has been a mercy from God. Our attention should turn towards our promised reward of heaven. And if we do that, turn our attention towards the Lord instead of our neighbor, we'll find ourselves not being sad. We'll find ourselves being the joyful witnesses of the kingdom that we've been called into. Let's be grateful and thank God that we're considered His co-workers.